I want to consider with you this morning some spiritual lessons from verses 2 to verse 8 of Song of Solomon chapter 5 under the title. The title of my message this morning is A Visit from the Lord in Lockdown. A Visit from the Lord in Lockdown. A number of weeks ago we considered a message from the Lord in lockdown to John the Baptist. Locked away in prison. Then last Lord's Day morning, we considered a vision of the Lord in lockdown, looking at John the Apostle, banished to the Isle of Patmos. And when he turned behind him to see the voice that he heard, he had a vision of the Lord in all his glory. Today, we consider a visit, the Lord coming to visit his bride. In lockdown. Now, the Song of Solomon is an inspired love song telling the love of the Shulamite bride and her beloved, the shepherd of the hills. Some commentators and preachers feel that the Shulamite was Abishag, that young maid who was brought to the palace to help David in his old age. We cannot be sure, and we cannot say for certain. But nevertheless, this love song is about the love that the bride had for her beloved, and vice versa. And it sets forth in picture the love and relationship that Jesus Christ, the heavenly bridegroom, has for his bride, the church of Jesus Christ, and vice versa. As you read through the book, you discover that it contains a number of visitations when the bridegroom would visit the Shulamite and he would meet with her and they would talk the one with the other. There are expressions of love and desires, the longings of their heart, the one toward the other. But in chapter 5, verses 2 to 8, you have set before you one of those visits. When the bridegroom, who I believe we can rightly call the shepherd of the hills, comes to visit his bride and comes to visit the one that he loves. However, as you read these verses, you will also discover not only does the bridegroom come, the beloved come to visit his love, you discover that she is locked away in the bedchamber. And the bridegroom is seeking to visit, but he cannot enter. You'll see that in verse 2, the first part. It says, I sleep, but my heart waketh. She's in the bedchamber. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove. So he's on the outside. The door is locked and barred. She is on the inside. She is locked away. Look at verse 4. My beloved put his hand through the hole of the door. My bowels were moved for him. He's in ancient times, there was a little hole beside the door that you could put your hand through to open the door. And he puts his hand through and she sees it. But she is not with him. She is locked away. Some have suggested that the bride is in the palace kept by the king who was seeking to win her. But her heart was with and for the shepherd of the hills who is seeking to visit her now. Nevertheless, we have set before us in pictorial form the beloved Lord Jesus visiting his bride while she is locked away from him. Therefore, we have given this message the title, A Visit from the Lord in Lockdown. I want to concentrate this morning on the bride. I want to focus on her. And I want to note four things about her as she was visited by her beloved. I want you firstly to notice the bride sleeping. Look at verse 2. We take it that the bride, we know that it's the Shulamite bride that is speaking. She says, I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved. I sleep. Sleep, of course, is necessary for bodily rest. We have to rest our body, and we do it by sleeping, and it refreshes us and it revives us. When we rise again, we're ready to work or go about our business. So it is necessary for bodily rest, but oftentimes in the Bible, sleep is used to denote spiritual sloth or slumber. When we should be up and doing for the Master, when we should be working for Him, when we should be serving Him, we often are found sleeping. When we should be communing with Him, we are often found in a state of slumber and sleep. And therefore, there's a sense in which sleep can represent a bad thing, something that we should have in its proper place, but because we do need to rest spiritually as well. But there are times when we should be serving the Lord and not sleeping. There are times when we can become slothful, sluggish in our relationship with Him, in our service for Him. And how often is that depicted throughout the Bible? We could mention, and it's a study in itself, maybe preach through it sometime, sleeping saints. Times when the saints of God in the Bible should have been serving the Lord, but they were sleeping. Jonah was sleeping when he should have been preaching in Nineveh. The Lord had called him to that city, but he didn't want to go. He rejected and he rebelled against the will of the Lord, and he went down to Joppa and he found a ship going to Tarshish, and he entered into that ship and he paid his fare. And as the ship sealed the Mediterranean Sea, the Lord sent the storm. And where was Jonah? Chapter 1, verse 5. He was sleeping in the hindermost part of the ship. He was sleeping when he should have been preaching. He was inactive when he should have been active in the service of the Lord. What about the apostles in Matthew 26 and verse 40? The Lord asked them, watch with me. And he said, I will go a little further. And he went a stone's cast away from them, and he began to pray there in Gethsemane on the night of his betrayal, the night when he would be imprisoned, the night before he would be tried and crucified. When he came to find his disciples after the hour, they all slumbered and slept. They were sleeping when they should have been praying. Wonder, has that state of spiritual slumber infiltrated your prayer life? Where you can do many other things. You do the business of the day. You go to your employment. You have your daily meals. You interact with your family. You have private times where you just rest and relax. But has prayer been relegated that when you should be praying, you're in a state of slumber and sloth? What about Eutychus? In Acts chapter 20, verse 9, the Apostle Paul, he was a long-winded preacher. In those days of revival blessing, and he was about to leave a particular place, and they wanted him to preach, and he preached all night, he preached to midnight. And Eutychus the boy, he was sitting in the windowsill, the place was packed, you couldn't get a seat. All for days like that to return in the church of Christ and in the house of God. And he was perched on the ledge. And as the night wore on, he fell asleep and the head dropped and he lost his balance and he fell. Now I'm going from memory. Was it the third story? You read the passage, it certainly was a great height up. And he fell down and was taken up as dead. Paul performed a wonderful miracle and the young boy returned to life, but he was sleeping when he should have been listening to the message of the Word of God. My friend, do you pay attention to the Word of God in the house of God, or in these weeks as it has come across the airwaves, or are you there in body but not in spirit, and your mind is on the affairs of tomorrow or yesterday or some trouble in your life? Sleeping when he should have been listening to the Word of God. What about the foolish virgins in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 5? When they should have been watching for the bridegroom coming, they slumbered and they slept. And so with the Shulamite in Song of Solomon chapter 5, she says, I sleep. Sleeping when she should have been communing and meeting with her beloved. I wonder, have you fallen into that spiritual state of sloth, slumber and sleep? Once you walked well, you were alert, you served the Lord, you were diligent in your worship, in your service, in your devotions. But now a spiritual slumber has come upon you. We say with the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 5 and 14, as he said to the believers at Ephesus, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Oh, may the Lord waken us to worship, to devotion, to service. For him, the bride, sleeping. Then I want you to notice, secondly, the bride stirred. Look at verse 2 and verse 5. It says, I sleep, but my heart waketh. Oh, now she was coming to life. She was being stirred. I don't know about you, but whenever the alarm goes in the morning, it's not so bad at this time of the year because it's nice and bright outside and you're waking up and it's bright and it's a little easier to get yourself stirred. But oh, in those dark winter nights and mornings, and the alarm goes and you maybe hit the snooze button, and 10 minutes later it goes again. You want to hit the snooze button again, but you know you've got to stir yourself. And you've got to rise and get going for the day. And that's what's happening. The Shulamite, she's getting stirred to get up and see what's going on. And see who is at the door. My heart waketh. Look at verse 5. I rose up to open to my beloved. These words describe a shrugging off of the slumber, a stirring from sleep, a rising from the bed to meet and to greet and to commune and to be comforted in the presence of her beloved. And oh, that's what you need. That's what we need. I have to say, and I say it not in a critical way, but that's what the Church of Christ needs today. Because in this early 21st century, it seems to be, there's a sluggishness. There's a sleep has descended over the flock of the Lord. And we need to be stirred. Stirred to meet with him. Stirred to hear him. Stirred to live for him. Stirred to serve him. Can I ask and answer the question? What was it that stirred the bride on this occasion? It was his voice. Look at verse 2. It is the voice of my beloved. She recognized the voice. She knew, she'd heard that voice before, whisper to her in days gone by. And it was a voice of her beloved that caused her to rise. our beloved speaks to us. One of the blessings of being a child of God is to hear the voice of the Lord. And the Lord speaks to all of his sheep. The Lord speaks to all of his people individually. Those words of the Savior, how precious they are in John chapter 10, describing his people as the sheep of his pasture. He said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Isn't that expressed in the words of Bonner's lovely hymn? "I heard the voice of Jesus say, 'Come unto me and rest. Lay down thy weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast.' I came to Jesus as I was, weary, worn, and sad. I find in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. The Lord calls his sheep unto him for salvation, and they hear his voice, and they begin to follow him. And as he leads and as he guides throughout all their life, and he's promised to be our guide, even unto death, he speaks to us. To guide us every step of the way." There's a hymn and it's entitled, "How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds." I believe we could substitute one word and it would still mean the same and be relevant to what we're saying now. How sweet the voice of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away fears. And this voice of the beloved to the Shulamite bride. In verse 2, it was a voice to embrace him, a voice to meet him and commune with him, a voice to receive him. "Open to me." Is that what the Lord is saying to you? Swing your heart's door widely open, like the church in Laodicea. It's been closed. Oh, you're a believer. But the Lord has been outside for a while and he's saying, "Open to me, meet with me, commune with me. Come to me." My friend, dear child of God, when was the last time you heard the voice of the Lord speaking to you? Saying, "This is the way, walk ye therein." Oh, how good it is to pray, "Master, speak." Isn't that the words of Samuel? And there's a lovely hymn based upon it. "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." What a prayer it is to utter, "Master, speak, thy servant heareth. Listening for and to thy precious word." May the Lord speak continually to your heart as you make your journey from earth to heaven. His voice stirred her. Something else stirred her. His view, a view of him. And what view did she get a glimpse of? Verse 5. "I rose to open." Sorry. In verse 4 it is. "My beloved put his hand by the hole of the door." That little lattice that you could put your hand through, but every lock was different, and only those that knew the lock could open it. He put his hand through, but she had to open it. Nevertheless, she saw his hand, and she was stirred to rise up and go toward him. Oh, the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. To get a glimpse of those hands. I ministered last Lord's Day afternoon, that funeral service from Luke 24, verse 29, where the disciples constrained the Lord and they said, "Abide with us." We're seeking to show those that mourn that the Lord Jesus abides with his people in their deepest sorrow. And when he abides with his people, he reveals his sufferings. You see, the Savior did abide with those disciples, and it tells us in that verse, or the very next verse, that he was made known unto them in the breaking of bread. He took the bread and he broke it, and he gave it to those disciples. And I believe they understood that it was Jesus. When he reached forth the bread, they saw the nail-pierced hands. They knew it was Christ. There's no hands like the hands of Christ. They're nail-scarred hands. Hands that were pierced for our redemption and our salvation. Hands that were nailed in love to the tree. But they're not only nail-scarred hands. They're not only hands that bear us sufferings, but they're sovereign, strong hands. No man shall pluck any believer out of the hands of the Lord. He is the Lord God omnipotent, and we are sheltered in the hands of God. Oh, to see those strong hands, the hands that would hold the bride securely and protect her from all harm and enemies. She got a glimpse of those hands, and it stirred her and moved her to rise to meet him. My friend, you're sluggish. You're in slumber. Get a glimpse of the nail-scarred hands of Jesus that uphold you and protect you from all harm. I put it to you, I'll move you to run to him. The bride sleeping, the bride stirred. I want you to notice thirdly this morning, the bride searching. By the time she arose from her slumber and her bed to open the door and embrace him, her beloved had gone. Look at verse 6. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself. When the Lord comes and seeks us, when he comes to commune with us, we need to respond immediately. Oh, he's pictured outside the door of the church at Laodicea. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And he's knocking patiently. He's knocking lovingly. He's knocking desiringly. And he's knocking, wanting admittance and entrance to come in and sup with his children and them with him, to have communion and fellowship with them, to speak to him. But while he stands patiently, he will not stand indefinitely. There are times when if we don't respond and respond quickly, say, Master, speak, and bid him entrance, bid him his place, that he can withdraw himself again. We miss out on that blessed communion fellowship with the Saviour. And that's what happened to the bride. But to her credit, she began to search for him. It was a diligent search. It says, my soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him. She's searching. She's calling. In verse 7, she comes to the watchmen of the city. She's going about the city to find her beloved. She's making a careful and a diligent search for him. But while it was a diligent search, it was a disappointing search, because he gave me no answer. There are times whenever the Lord seeks to come to his people and minister to them and speak to them, and if they are slow to respond, he withdraws, and then they go to seek a word or his voice and they can't find one. Oh, how quick we need to respond. Swing the heart's door widely open. Bid him enter while you may. Why was it a disappointing search? Commentators suggest she did not find him. He gave no answer. because she was looking in the wrong place. The watchmen are mentioned in verse 7 that went about the city. The watchmen were those who stood on the walls at night to look out for the enemy coming. And if the enemy approached, they warned the people and they would defend themselves against enemy attack. But she's seeking him in the city setting. You'll notice the walls are mentioned. The keepers of the walls took away my veil. She mentions in verse 8 the daughters of Jerusalem. Commentators take the city to be the worldly place, and the watchmen and the daughters of Jerusalem to be the worldly crowd. And that's why she couldn't find him there. Dear child of God, you'll not find the Savior in the worldly place. Maybe you've been looking for him in the wrong place. You'll not find him with the world's crowd. You'll not find his peace, his joy. You'll not hear his voice. You'll not have his contentment or his blessing in the worldly crowd or among worldly people. Where would she find him? Where should she have looked? You turn back to chapter 1. And she asks the question. The king has brought her into his chambers in verse 4 of chapter 1. And she asks the question, tell me, verse 7. O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. She's looking for the shepherd. She wants to be with the shepherd, and she's asking the question, where are you? Where are you feeding the flock? Look at verse 8, it gives the answer. If thou know not, O thou fairest among women. If you don't know where I am, you don't know where to find me. Here's the answer. Go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock. Feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. The shepherd will be with the sheep. She'll find him with the sheep. He'll be watching and looking after the flock. Isn't it a picture of the Lord Jesus? You want to know where you'll find the Lord? He's among his sheep. He's not in the worldly places or with the worldly people. They know nothing of his grace or of his word or of his ways. But he's with his people. Where the flock are feeding, that's where you'll find him. Jesus said, where two or three are met together in my name, there am I in the midst. My friend, that's why when you need to seek the Lord, you don't forsake the assembling of yourselves with the people of God. For where the people of God are gathered in his name, the Lord is in the midst and he has a word for his people there. And so if you're searching for the Lord and you haven't heard the voice of God and you know not what to do, go to where the people of God are. Get among God's people. I have to smile as I say that because obviously we're missing the fellowship of God's church at this time. But I tell you, when we have a restored fellowship, you want to meet with the Lord, you want to hear his voice, you want to commune with him, get to God's house and be among God's people. For that's where your search will end successfully. And that's where you will find the Lord. There's one final point I put to you this morning. We've considered the bride sleeping, the bride stirred, the bride searching. Then we have the bride sick in verse 8. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if ye find my beloved, that ye tell him, I am sick of love. This is not a sickness of her beloved. It's actually a sickness of the absence of her beloved. It's a sickness of missing out with him. She loves him so much, she is sick to be away from him. They talk and tell us there is such a thing as love sickness. And I maybe won't comment on that. Maybe you know by experience something of being love sick. Well, I think it's true. I think there is such a thing as love sickness because the Lord mentions it here in his word. And the bride was not sick of her beloved. She wanted to be with him. She wanted to find him. She couldn't bear not being in his presence. And this sickness is a sickness of an absence of his presence, whereby she feels she's missing out on his love. And it describes the longing of an awakened soul. The longing that an awakened soul has for Christ and would feel sick at not being able to be with him. There's a lovely hymn. I think it might have been Bonner that penned these words. Don't quote me on that. I need to check it out. There's a lovely verse of a hymn that says this. The hymn goes like this. O love divine, how sweet thou art, speaking about the love of God to sinners. O love divine, how sweet thou art, when shall I find my willing heart all taken up with thee? I thirst, I faint, I die to prove the fullness of redeeming love, the love Christ to me. Are you taken up with his love? Do you thirst? Do you faint? Would you die to prove the fullness of for the redeeming love of Christ to you? Are you sick when you miss out on experiencing the freshness and reality of the love of your beloved, the Saviour, in your presence, being showered upon you? May we know something of it, for Jesus' sake. A visit of the Lord to his bride in lockdown. May he come and visit us this day.